Coming at you from the Steel City, you're listening to Poor Man's Podcast, Pittsburgh's premier comedy podcast. Your weekly dose of humor, hosted by Chris Hopper and with a new special guest each week. And here's your host, Chris Hopper.
Woo! Woo!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Poor Man's Podcast Sports Extra with sports guy JP. JP, how are you this evening?
Good, coming off a Monday night victory, and it's good to be back and happy to talk about it.
Luckily a victory. From what I saw, I was recording the regular Poor Man's Podcast last night. Definitely subscribe, check that out. We had Danny Kaufman in studio. It was very funny stuff. I also had Ryan Gailey, attorney at law, call in to talk about some parking ticket information, which was pretty entertaining, I think. So definitely tune into that. But I did miss some of the Steeler game because I was bringing you the regular Poor Man's Podcast. But I clicked in at the end and saw that they almost blew it. So, JP, can you give us a little bit of a recap?
Yeah, so my understanding of what happened more so towards the end was I think the Bears shot themselves in the foot, penalties, and then especially a costly one at the end with an official actually, you know, touching and bumping into a linebacker on the Bears on a crucial, I believe, third down.
Yeah.
And it gave the Steelers an automatic first down, and they were able to, you know, kick another field goal, take a 6-point lead, and hold on to it from there.
Was that penalty because of the touching of the referee, or was that because of the steps he took towards the sideline for taunting?
My understanding is it was because he was taunting near the sideline. It looked like the ref initiated contact.
I agree with that point. That's what I was asking.
Yeah. It looked like the ref initiated contact, and I guess like he got flagged for it, and I think, in my opinion, the official should face, you know, a fine or suspension or something. Because
I mean, you
don't touch an official, and I don't think an official should touch a player.
It's strange that this came up because I was literally in a fight on Instagram with somebody over like a WNBA referee. Like, I guess some girl was like walking, and the ref walked into her. And they, like, kicked her out and gave her a technical foul and stuff. But I guess it got taken care of from what I understand. I didn't do too much more information or research on that. But, yeah, there should be no touching of referees, and referees should be no touching of players. But what I have not heard, and from what I saw, it looked like the ref was walking back to the yard line where he – I think that, like, when refs set up before the play, they like to set up in their area. They each have a designated area. So I'm wondering if maybe the referee wanted to stand on, say it was the 50-yard line or whatever. It looked like when he was walking back, he went and turned to stand on the yard line. Now, he definitely saw the player was coming. So, like, that's no excuse. But I don't know if that's what he's going to kind of justify it as.
Even if it was accidental contact or it was on the ref. Marsh, I don't think, initiated any of that. And I think the flag was from him taunting to the sideline. But even the announcer said he didn't say anything, you know, to another players. They were coming on the field.
Yeah. It seems like they're really just like what taunting used to be, what taunting is now does not seem to be the same to me. He flexed almost or just like stared him down. But because he took, you know, two or three steps towards the Steelers sideline, that's taunting now, I guess.
Right, and I'm just thinking about, like, you know, like, T.O. with the Eagles or, you know, Steve Smith against the Vikings, celebrations like that. You know, like, okay, I can see where that's taunting. I feel like even when, like, you know, T.J. Watt or someone gets a sack, they celebrate way more excessively than Cassius Marsh did on that play.
I don't get that at all because, like, I feel like after you make a play, that was a big play. You're allowed to do that. You're allowed to play and get excited and, you know, feel the moment.
Did
he hurt anybody? Did he do something that was inappropriate? No, he looked at them because he made a good stop from a team that he was on a season ago where he probably, you know, maybe has some sour grapes towards that team where he didn't play very much. I mean, I don't want to put words into his mouth, but maybe, you know, when you go back and play a team you used to play for, you always like having that chip on your shoulders. So maybe he had that, but that seemed like kind of a ticky-tack call.
seems like even just like culture nowadays, like they're conflicted in ways where it's like, you know, when Michael Jordan would do something, it was really cool because he yelled at his teammates, but he won. And it seems like nowadays, if you do anything remotely competitive or remotely, you know, I don't want to say like offensive, but I guess like taunting in that case, or, you know, whatever it is, like it's more frowned upon.
I agree. Plus, I think when you win, it's different. It looks on different. Like Jordan could be looked at something where somebody else could be like, oh, he's a team distraction. He's putting their team down. He's a me first guy. But when Jordan does it, it's like, oh, I love the fire in him.
Even though, like, even on, like, a less serious note, like, when, you know, Juju blocked perfect a couple years ago, and it was, you know, great block, you know, that's going to be a moment that goes down in history. It's going to be like, I remember when Juju blocked perfect, like, in that case, like, you know, for Bears fans or whoever it is, it could be like, I remember when Marsh looked to the sideline after he made that key stop, and you never know, maybe Fields goes down and they score and win, you know, but... You know, in the ref's case, they throw a flag, which, and the thing I hated the most was, you don't throw a flag on a questionable taunting penalty at that stage of the game.
Absolutely. Good point.
It is too close of a game. The circumstances are too high. That game was on the line when they made that call, and that was a stupid penalty.
If he hit him late out of bounds, stood over him like Juju did to Perfect, and then spit on him, okay, throw the flag on that. But for a play like that, you're absolutely right. In that situation, that gave the Steelers a first down. That gave them life.
And it was funny. You could even watch the Bears coaches. Like, you could see them infuriated with Marsh. And then he comes over, and they're yelling at him. And then 2 minutes later, when they see the replay and everything, all of a sudden, it's, what the hell kind of call was that?
Yeah. Oh, his – I don't know if it was the D coordinator or position coach for Cassius Marsh, but he was livid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if your player makes a penalty like that, you should be. But then when you review it and see what actually happened, that was one of the worst officiating calls since the Fail Mary.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty bad. I don't hate seeing it because it worked out in the Steelers' favor. But I don't know. Maybe it's a sign of the times. I mean, I don't think that was that big of a call, but, you know, it seems like everything, football or otherwise, in today's culture is so touchy, and you can't do anything without, you know, offending anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then even just, like, it just takes away from the game. I mean, it's an aggressive game to begin with. Guys who play it are obviously guys who I'm assuming aren't offended by trash talking. It's part of the game, and just let it happen. As long as they're not saying anything over the top, let the guys play. It's just part of the game. It what gets, you know, opponents and teammates fired up. You know, it's what makes some players, even, you know, some good players are great because of their ability to talk. You know, look at what AJ Brown and Jalen Ramsey did this past week. You know, they were running their mouths all game.
Look at Deion Sanders, man, the GOAT of running his mouth. Maybe policy being put in place by people who've never played the game. I don't know if that has anything to do with it or if they're just so touchy with sponsorships. You don't want to be offensive and lose the Pepsi sponsorship. Not that anybody would not, like, advertise with the NFL.
Any sponsors or anything.
What?
As we'll say, Cassius Marsh's sponsors, all them.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think from what I hear, he has a Pokemon card shop in California.
That's actually really cool. I had no idea that was the case.
I'm not even kidding. He has, from what I heard, I didn't do any research, so this is all hearsay, but it's from like NFL Network or, you know.
In terms of the linebacker NFL hierarchy, he's probably a Charizard or at least a Gyarados.
No. He's definitely like a starter Pokemon, but not Generation 1. He's like, you know, Togedile. Stupid. But yeah. So all the sports fans that were listening have now tuned out. But, JP, what other stuff did you take away from that game? I didn't get to see the whole thing.
There were even more penalties on that final drive, or maybe someone before, but Bears had a lot of stupid, costly offsides penalties, and I think that's really what put the Steelers in the game. Steelers had 5 penalties for a total of 30 yards, where the Bears had 12 penalties for a total of 115 yards.
Yeah.
115 yards is a football field. That's 7 points.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, from what I've heard on radio, at least local radio, it seemed like the Bears kind of got a raw deal.
Yeah, that's really what it was. And Steelers possessed the ball for about 8 more minutes than the Bears did. And at the end of the day, it's what we've been saying the past couple weeks. Najee Harris got over the 16 carry mark, and Ben didn't turn the ball over. And they did both of those, and they won the football game. They played defense and won.
And this was for the first time in a while that when Ben, because when I turned it on, it was right before Ray McLeod fumbled the ball. So they were up by like 10 at that point. And then they turned it over and they ran it back in. And then it was like, you know, a field goal game or whatever. And then the Bears went up and I was like, oh, shit. But when Ben came back on the field for the first time in a while, I was like, the Steelers still got this.
Yeah, yeah. It was interesting because the offensive line's getting more comfortable. Dan Moore struggled this week, allowing 3 pressures and a sack. But the rest of them outside of him only allowed 1 other sack and 2 additional pressures. So, like, they're giving Ben time. I think Ben's sitting back more comfortably and letting more plays develop. And I think that because of that, they're able to move the ball more fluently. And, I mean, their record's shown. I mean, that's how they're winning football games, is Ben protecting the football and them running. And I'm impressed with the way the Lions played the past couple weeks. Now, Khalil Mack was out of the game, which was a huge influence, but it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, definitely. Especially from the way they started the season, they looked like the worst offensive line I've seen in a while. And there are some years where the Steelers had some bad offensive lines with who'd they have at center? Justin Hartwig and Sean Mahan. There were some bad O-lines there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know,
but the one thing I will say with this, they weren't great, but they're all, I mean, there's rookies, there's first year, you know, starters, there's people who haven't played together, and I don't know that there's a group in pro sports that needs to be more cohesive and you know work as one more than an offensive line in football.
Mm-hmm. And even, you know, in addition to the line, It's interesting to me because what we've been saying the past, you know, all year, now that the Steelers have gone into a rhythm, was how there's one way this team can win: run the ball, play defense, protect the ball. And it's really cool because I noticed that we've been saying that on Poor Man's Podcast for about a month now. And I was listening to Colin Cowherd, guy, credible source, I'd say, in the sports world, sure. National coverage. Today, as his reaction to the game, he said, and I quote, in the league we have now, the more ways you can win is the more viable you are in December and January. And Pittsburgh has one way they can win.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's absolutely right. He says they're winning games, but it's margins. Their margins are close. They're low scoring. They rely on their kicker. But I mean, that's what we've been saying, and I like to see that, you know, some national recognition's picking up on it.
Yeah, definitely. He probably listens to the show.
Yeah, 100%. I bet that we're heavily influenced on the herd hierarchy this week.
That's what I heard.
He was probably like, Case Keenum's not it. He hates Baker Mayfield, too, so.
Yeah. You know what? I like seeing – I don't ever want to see the Browns do well, but – I kind of like seeing them do okay after Odell Beckham's departure.
Funny side fact, Colin Cowherd created an Instagram account a couple years ago. He's always like, you know, I'm old at heart. He's clearly not into it, and he specifically created it just to only follow Baker Mayfield.
To get back to some of the Steelers stuff, though, and I guess we could make it a Pokemon reference with the Watts. TJ is definitely the fully evolved version of that, especially on the Steelers anymore. Is there a better defensive player right now in the NFL?
I don't think so. And he came off, you know, crucial pass deflection at the end of the game and 3 sacks. I think he's now he's leading the league, or he's, you know, closing in on Myles Garrett.
I think he is leading the league now.
Yeah, in my opinion, maybe outside of, let's say, Aaron Donald, who is, you know, consistently busting out defensive player of the years and making plays. It's either Donald or TJ Watt.
And that's what we were kind of thinking last year too. And the edge was with Aaron Donald last year. I kind of like TJ this year.
I think based off the numbers this year, yeah, you have to agree that no one on the defensive side of the ball is playing better than TJ Watt.
And how many games did he miss earlier in the year? Two?
Two sounds about right with the groin injury.
Yeah.
I mean, even you look at guys like Trevon Diggs of Dallas, he's putting up numbers, but he also allows a lot of yards to his receivers. Yeah. TJ Watt's consistent and, you know, every step of the game, he, you know, even last week, he had that crucial fourth down stop on Nick Chubb. And I mean, he's making plays everywhere in the running game.
He's always around the ball, too. He gets his hand, he's batting down passes, forcing turnovers. He's just so impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a, you know, when it comes to local, I'm a big Mark Madden fan. I think he was wrong about TJ Watt. I don't think he's wrong a lot, but he was, I think, overcritical of Watt. And in my opinion, I think Watt.
What was his stance towards Watt?
He kind of felt like he was going to be overpaid. You don't pay a guy that unless they do quarterback things. But I mean, at the end of the day, he's the best player they have.
Absolutely. Like, I don't understand that idea or that kind of mentality that if you're not going to pay a guy who is at the top of, who is at the pinnacle, not only of his position, but of the entire side of the ball, like, who are you going to pay? And it's not like he's 38 years old and you're like, oh, well, he was good a decade ago, so let's pay him. He's in his prime now, and he's the best on the defense.
And you need to rush the quarterback. You need to rush the quarterback to win this league. It's not like I said about Micah Fitzpatrick, where safeties are a luxury to have, but not a necessity to win Super Bowls. You need pass rushers. And TJ Watt, I think, single-handedly was able to, you know, take over the Bears' line and, you know, get that pressure on Justin Fields and get him to the ground.
Yeah, him and Cam Hayward are definitely the two cornerstones on that defense. And
yeah,
everyone else.
Cam Hayward had that interception too. That was nice.
Yeah. Have we heard any word on Stephon Tuitt, whether or not he's coming back anytime soon?
I don't have an update on Tuitt whatsoever. It's a shame, especially because I saw like Bugs was shaken up. So, you know, that's thin at that side and they're only getting thinner with Ingram traded too.
For sure. Let's move on to previewing next week with the Detroit Lions. I would assume most people have this as a win. Do you consider yourself part of that group?
Yeah, at this point, I would say Steelers I like over Detroit. Detroit, obviously, is the only team that hasn't won a game this year up to this point. But I think it really does rely on the Steelers' D again. I think TJ Watt should have a good game against an offensive line. They have a rookie left tackle and a backup right tackle at the moment. I think that getting pressure on Jared Goff is going to be what it takes.
And it's not like Jared Goff stands in the face of pressure and follows through and, you know, has the guts it out.
He's one of the mobile quarterbacks in the game. You know, they don't have Kenny Galladay anymore, so they really don't have anyone to get the ball to. DeAndre Swift and TJ Hawkinson are going to be their premier playmakers, and I think that those guys should be held in check against the Pittsburgh defense. It's all about, like I said about them, you know, all year, they run the ball, play defense, protect football, they'll win. I think Detroit's a game where maybe they can allow maybe one mistake and still win.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what we always think, but I was saying this yesterday during the phone call when I had the honest attorney Ryan call in. I was talking about paying a parking ticket, and he was like, well, how much is it? And, you know, I just listened to the show to get the whole context, everybody. But I was making a joke about the Steelers weren't going to cover last night. And he thought they were. And I was like, they play down to their opponents. And I can see that happening again.
Yeah, me too. And that's what I said last week was they'll beat the Bears, but they won't cover. And that's how I see it this week, too.
Do you know what the spread is?
Yes, spread. We can get into that later.
Okay. Yeah. what else do you have for this week, then? I mean, obviously, like the one, who else in the division? Are there any key stories from Cincinnati, Cleveland, Baltimore?
Baker came off a huge win against
They beat up on Cincinnati, right? That was
they beat
them
good, but it was like Bengals controlled the ball, then would turn it over. You know, there's a pick six Denzel Ward had. So it was a lot of like, I don't think Baker was the reason they won, but they were able to smack them in the mouth.
So the score was a little, you know, misleading on the way the game was played. I just saw the box score and saw that, but I didn't see, you know, what happened.
Browns whooped them. It's just, it wasn't like an offensive explosion. There were a couple turnovers that led to easy touchdowns.
Did you see that it appears as though a lot of the Browns running backs are going to be out this week with COVID?
Oh, this is new to me. I didn't hear about it. I knew Hunt should still be out on IR, but Hunt
Chubb has COVID, and I believe two other guys. Now, they were saying something about Darnus Johnson. Is that his name?
Uh-huh, and then they have Felton or someone.
Yeah, well, I think Felton might be part of that, the sick group. There were three guys, and I'm pretty sure it was, like, running backs. Chubb was for sure one of them.
Uh-huh, yeah, I didn't hear about that, and that's, I mean, Odell Beckham's gone, too. So, like, yeah, we'll see what playmakers they have down the stretch against New England this week. I did not know about Chubb. If Chubb is out, I'm going to have to take New England, too. I did not hear about that.
Well, I don't know. Maybe the line has changed since you said. Are they one of your picks this week?
They were going to be, but I didn't officially make it because I wasn't confident with, you know, Mac Jones necessarily this week. But yeah. Now that I see that, you know, Nick Chubb might not play, I definitely will swing in favor of New England.
All right. So you like a Steelers win. You probably like New England. Anything else you want to do now before we get into some of the picks?
No, I could dive right into those, actually.
All right. Well, then we will do the picks, and I will try to see if the line changed at all.
Number one.
In the meantime, though, give me Seattle +3.5 against Green Bay. Russell Wilson's expected back, and Green Bay, I don't know what the story is with Aaron Rodgers. I know he has COVID, missed last week. He can't be back with his team until Saturday. So he's not going to practice if he does play.
Do you think he needs to?
I don't necessarily think that he needs it because, his resume speaks for it himself, but it definitely is, you know, a step in the wrong direction. I think the league may also have a consequence for him. So there's a chance maybe he gets suspended this week. So the way I'm looking at it is you give me Seattle with Russell Wilson back with over a field goal against Green Bay. I'm going to take him because Rodgers, like I said, won't practice. He may not even play. If he's rolled out, that line's going to change drastically. Get them at a bargain while you can. Jordan Love, if he does start, looked incredibly uncomfortable against a lousy Chief defense this past week that he was only able to get 7 points on.
Yeah, Jordan Love did not look very strong in the little bit of that I saw.
No, it was just... seemed like he wasn't comfortable. He wasn't, you know, you didn't see that wow factor from him. You know, I was expecting to see the big arm on occasion. It just didn't connect.
Now, JP, I'm looking right now. It looks like Cleveland Browns +1.5.
Okay, that's what I saw last. If Chubb's out, take New England for obvious reasons. Now that, you know, Chubb is out, the run game, which is what they do best, will be limited. Odell Beckham's gone. And Belichick takes what you do best and takes it away.
So you would spread. You essentially like Patriots money line?
Yeah. I like them to win that game.
Okay. So maybe that's something. Do you think that's something people should get on earlier than later?
Yes, 100%. If you can get on that before Chubb is officially rolled out or whatever it is, take it.
Maybe I'll do that right now then. All right. are we ready for your second pick?
Yeah.
Number two.
Although I guess we just did one of your picks, right?
I have other ones, so we'll go six this week, I guess.
Sure, that works.
All right. Buffalo and the Jets. This spread is huge, but I'm going with it. Buffalo's -13.5. Give me Buffalo.
They have to want to come back after losing to Jacksonville.
Yeah, there's something about a team that comes off a lousy week that, you know, a good team coming off a bad week, they seem to come out with a fire. And that was an embarrassing loss to one of the worst teams in football last week. Jets, on the other hand, I know Mike White had a moment of, you know, excitement. We were all supposed to fall in love with him. However, we'll see if he's healthy and if he can't go. It's going to be him or Josh Johnson. Regardless of who it is, I don't like that matchup against the Buffalo defense, who has surrendered the third fewest rushing yards against their team all year and the fewest passing yards.
Oh, well.
They're also first in points allowed, so they've allowed the fewest points. Defense is going to be a handful for whoever the Jets have playing quarterback and for a first-year head coach and Robert Saleh. Give me Buffalo to win by at least 14. And, you know, I think Josh Allen's going to come out and, you know, he's going to outscore whoever the Jets have under center.
I chose the Jets for part of a parlay I did last week because I thought they could keep it within 11.5, and they proved me very wrong. I'm surprised they only lost by 15 at the end or whatever it was.
I think Colts are a team to, you know, not sleep on right now. They're, I think Wentz and them are, and Frank Reich have a great connection, and I think that, you know, they will be a team that sneaks into the playoffs.
What's your overall opinion on Wentz? You like Wentz, him as a quarterback?
He is playing great football this year. I'm impressed with how he's been with the Colts. With no T.Y. Hilton. I don't think he's quite what he was the Super Bowl run they had, you know, when he was most likely the MVP until he got hurt. He takes, you know, he's a little reckless with the football and with his body, a little injury prone, but, you know, with what he's doing today, I think he's having his year has succeeded expectations.
Yeah, definitely. I liked Carson Wentz, and I thought he was really good, and then he kept getting hurt, and then kept playing like garbage, so I'd like to see him bounce back just because I think it's good for the NFL to have as many star quarterbacks as they can have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Frank Reich leaving, too, was, you know, something that happened in Philly after he left, and he played a couple years, you know, under Peterson without Reich. It was, you know, you definitely saw a decline in his play.
Yeah. All right, so that is, what, two or three picks so far?
That's two. Okay.
Number three!
I'm going to take the Chiefs -2.5 against the Raiders. Chiefs have been disappointing this year, and I'm still critical of them. Mahomes is coming off a lousy week. Despite that, it's only 2.5 points. I like them to win by a field goal. Mahomes is 5-1 in his career against the Raiders with 15 touchdowns to only 3 interceptions. And just what is going on in Vegas right now? All these off-the-field issues.
I was just
going
to say, it's a dumpster fire there. Which, I mean, where else would it be other than the Raiders? Maybe Cincinnati. But, like, it seems like there's so much going on. And, like, all the stories. I mean, they're, like, sad to hear it, too. The whole Ruggs situation's sad.
Waived a cornerback who was a first-round draft choice from a year ago after, you know, death threat videos with a gun, I heard.
Videos he made.
Whole thing with Ruggs, even Gruden. Gruden was still like 3 weeks ago like that.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily expect the team to recover from all that so quickly, yet alone against Kansas City.
I thought they could have bounced back from the Gruden thing and maybe got stronger. Not that like losing your head coach. That's kind of a like adrenaline rush, you bounce back the week after and then kind of progressively go down. But it's just like one thing after another, and like that has to, I mean, these are human beings. Like, people forget that, like, they're not robots. Like, things outside of, you know, what happens.
Yeah, if you
have to,
it was
you.
Chad Ochocinco, I don't know if it was Johnson or Ochocinco at the time, but he did say there was a year where, you know, when Chris Henry died, just the locker room changed. Like, they were borderline playoff team, and they just collapsed at the end of the year and, you know, missed the playoffs. And it's an elephant in the room that, like, it's tough on all those players. And I mean, Raiders are coming off a tough loss against the Giants this past week, and, you know, it's one issue after another, and, you know, it's going to be tough to even, like, focus on football when you have all those external things, yet alone playing against Patrick Mahomes.
Correct. I agree with that. Not that you're not saying like, oh, the Raiders are going to be an emotional disaster, put money against them, but maybe you kind of should.
It's also 2.5. Like, this is a field goal game. Give me Kansas City. They're still the better team, I think.
I agree.
Number four,
I'm going to take the Rams this week. Monday night, -3.5 against the 49ers.
The Rams ruined me last week.
49ers ruined a lot of people, too, though. Put simply, 49ers lost by, I forget the exact score. Let me pull that up. Yeah, 31-17 against Colt McCoy.
Oh, that's right. James Conner is looking pretty good, though.
he got he's leading the league in touchdowns outside of like quarter, but like non-passing touchdowns. Yeah. I think James Conner and Cooper Kupp, they were either tied or Conner's passed them.
Oh wow, yeah, that it was strange to see. What's to get back to the Niners? What's kind of your overall take on Kyle Shanahan this year? Because he seemed like he was, you know, him and McVay were like the two up and coming coaches, and it seems like they're going in opposite directions now.
That's what I was about to get into. So yeah, they are playing the Rams this week. McVay versus Shanahan. They're like the two young coaches that were supposed to be, you know, take the league by storm. And they're both great play designers, but I think McVay has separated himself at this point. McVay is now 50-23 in the regular season as a coach, where Shanahan is 32-40.
Oh wow! Yeah, I did not know that.
Shanahan's, you know, he had the Super Bowl run, but. I mean, he's had Garoppolo get injured in the past, but he's really not, you know, as successful as people would think. 49ers seem to be like a playoff contender, potential Super Bowl team every year, yet they haven't been there since losing it.
That blows me away that that's his record. I would have
32-40. That's worse than, you know, Mike Singletary was there.
Oh, wow.
Which is crazy to think, but he is 5-3 against McVay in his career. But McVay, this time around, unlike every other time, has Matt Stafford at quarterback.
Yeah.
He also now has Von Miller, who they traded for, to pair with Aaron Donald. And
he didn't play last week, so it's still interesting to see.
Uh-huh. So Rams, look for them with Von Miller and Aaron Donald to create, pressure on the quarterback with a struggling offensive line and a non-mobile quarterback. I think the Niners have an elephant in the room. They think Garoppolo is good enough to not lose the job, but they really want Trey Lance in. I think, Garoppolo just, you know, he was at least known for his awesome win-loss record, but this year has been a different story. Niners are struggling offensively, and the only teams they've beaten were the Lions, Eagles, and Bears, three teams whose combined records are 6-20.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like the Rams for their high-powered offense.
What's the spread?
3.5.
God.
Half's a big deal, but even if the Niners decide, hey, we're going to take away Cooper Kupp, the Rams still got Robert Woods. Henderson's playing better than I thought. Even Higbee's a serviceable tight end. You know, they have more ways of beating you than just one. So I think the Rams, whose offense has scored the second most points in the NFL up to this point, should cover against the Niners.
Absolutely. Was that 4?
Yep.
Number 5.
There we go.
All right, number 5. I haven't done this all year, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to take the Lions +9 against the Steelers.
You know what? I agree. I wanted to pull the trigger last night on the Bears. I had a parlay, and I had Steelers money line, but Bears to cover. And I didn't do it because I've had just bad luck with the Steelers. And Steelers obviously it continues because I didn't put money on it.
Steelers are better, and they should win. But I'm not there. I just got a feeling. I don't have the data to back the feeling. Lions are 30th in points allowed and points scored. So their offense and defense is both bottom of the league.
Mm-hmm.
Having said it, I just got this feeling that maybe the Lions at 0-8, they got to win sometime. Steelers are not explosive.
It's the Raiders factor.
If there's
a
team who can lose, and it's not, you know, the Texans or someone, I think Steelers could lose this game. I don't think they will.
Is it in Pittsburgh?
But if they win, it's not going to be by 10 points.
Definitely not. We'll be lucky if the Steelers put up 10 points, like a lot of weeks. That's definitely what I go into. When I see some of these spreads, I'm like, can the Steelers even get that many? Maybe they can. Because they have to be one of the lowest scoring offenses.
Yeah, and I was going to get into that. They averaged 20.1 points per game this season, and that was coming off, 29 they put up this past week. So before this week, it was under 20. They're the only team for winning record to have that. For the past year and a half, they're 28th in yards per play. And Lions are, they're 4-1 this year when... You know, against the spread, obviously, when they're 9-point underdogs. So, yeah. I mean, 9 points in the NFL is a lot. I think the Lions should be able to hang in there. They're coming off a bye. Steelers are coming off a short week. And, I think Jared Goff's you know, with his time with the Rams, he was a very winning quarterback. I think he can protect the football. He's not going to wow you with anything, but 9-point spread, your team averages 20 points a game. Detroit already has half their points necessary to reach that goal.
Do you think that that could be something that people could think about putting in to one of the teasers you were talking about a week ago or 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, yeah. If you do a 10-point teaser or whatever, Detroit has to be your first pick in that.
Yeah.
And like I said with the Calhoun quote, like the Steelers' margins are short. They don't blow teams away. As a matter of fact, they haven't won a game by 9 or more points since week 11 of last year, where they beat Jacksonville 27-3, and that was with Jake Luton under center, who threw 4 interceptions and 0 touchdowns.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what. Jacksonville has had... I was going to say it would be rough to be a Jacksonville fan, but I don't know if they have any of this.
Yeah, that's good. They come every so often. You know, Jacksonville is a team that does give the Steelers a run for their money.
Yeah, randomly with like Jacksonville does. They have like a I can't think of what the word is, but kind of just like they have it out for them. They find a way to beat them when they shouldn't. I can just see David Garrard running for a first down in my head over and over again.
I say it all the time. David Garrard was very underrated and underappreciated. I think Jacksonville trading him away to draft Blaine Gabbert is one of the worst moves ever, because they were very competitive with Garrard. And then he was traded to Miami, and like he didn't even play there. I never understood why that guy was never given like more opportunity.
Yeah, I don't even remember that. And I thought you were going to say traded for to get Bortles. I completely forgot about Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah, yeah. But David Garrard, like definitely not Pro Bowl caliber, but he was winning football games. And I mean, I would have had him as a starter at that time. You know, he was good and, you know, he always beat the Steelers, it seemed like.
Yeah, for sure. Now, do you have a 6th pick?
Well, the 6th pick was New England.
Okay.
Yeah, so. New England, like I said, Chubb, if Chubb can't play, that's what they do best. New England's defense should have a field day. Young quarterback like Baker, I think, is going to struggle to throw the ball in that secondary, and you know, I like Belichick better.
Oh, you have to always like Belichick, especially in something like that. So, all right, can you give us a quick rundown of your picks one more time?
Yeah. So, as a bonus, already we get New England -1. You said or 1.5?
I think it's 1.5 from what.
Okay. Kansas City -2.5. I like Seattle +3.5. That can change if Aaron plays, but I'm going to say Seattle +3.5. And if Wilson doesn't play, too. But that's very
risky. Wilson's been practicing all week, which it seems like he got, or I don't, not all week, it's Tuesday, but like from what I saw earlier, he was practicing.
Yeah, yeah. And even if both guys are healthy, you get a field goal in Russell Wilson, it's still, you know, I think a fair.
Yeah.
Fair. Yeah, so Seattle +3.5, Buffalo -13.5, Detroit +9, and the Rams -3.5.
Well, there you are, everybody. Go out, make your picks now. Now, JP, is it better for people to make their picks earlier before the spread changes, or should they wait until Saturday night, Sunday morning?
It always depends on what you want to bet, in the sense of if you think a guy is out, yeah, then take it. But if you think he might play, it's hard to pull that trigger, you know? So, for example, last week, they didn't roll DeAndre Hopkins or Kyler Murray out till game day.
Yeah, I know. I have Kyler Murray as my fantasy quarterback, so that fucked me.
Right. So, it's going to, you know, affect the spread regardless. If you think a guy might play and that's going to favor your team, I would wait. But if you think a guy will not play and that will favor your pick, then you fire in early. So, for example, if they think Nick Chubb could still play or whatever, fire in now. Or if you don't think he will play, fire in now. Because if he does play, you know, the spread will be different.
Right. All right. Fair enough. JP, thank you for your picks. We'll talk to you next week. Hopefully my picks do a little bit better. I've had bad luck. I just joined one of the apps. And they have like the, oh, if you bet this and you get $125 or whatever. So I had that, and I don't think I've won with any of the bets I've won with the money from that. So,
yeah, it's you know,
Dalvin Cook lets me down. I always have him for the anytime touchdowns, and apparently he hasn't scored for weeks.
I missed a parlay that I took for, you know, giggles, you know, so to speak. I picked
the old giggle parlay.
Three-team parlay. I had a dollar in my account, so I was like, you know what, house money, I'll throw it on a parlay that won't hit over 100. I took Jacksonville to win outright. They beat the Bills. I picked the Broncos to beat the Cowboys outright. They whooped them. I thought about taking the Falcons to beat the Saints. I didn't, and the Falcons would have won. Instead, I decided to take the Vikings, who are competitive with Dalvin Cook, Kirk Cousins, Thielen, Jefferson. You know what? I decided to take them because they had a nice money line spread. I took them as the third team to beat the Ravens. They go up 14, and they blow it.
What's up with Adam Thielen? Before we end the show, he seems like he's having a down year.
Really? No, Thielen's actually playing.
Is he? Maybe I'm just looking at the stats from the games I bet on. Has he had a down 2 weeks then?
No, yeah, he's got 45 catches, 477 yards, and 7 touchdowns already.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's having a pretty good year.
Okay, well, then he's just screwing me over then.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins is just one of those guys I feel like they surround him with talent, and then he just doesn't do anything. He plays good enough to not lose his job, but it's like, looking back, if we had like a much better quarterback, the Vikings would have had way more success.
They call him the David Garrard of Minnesota.
Except
it's been said a million times. All right, sports guy JP.
Yeah, I was gonna say, in other news too, football related kind of, Frank Gore is going to be in the square circle coming up.
Oh, yeah. I meant to talk to you about that. He's fighting Darren Williams, ex-NBA player, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's December 18th. That's going to be an undercard to the Tommy Fury-Jake Paul fight. And, yeah, well, I'll watch it. I'm excited to watch it. Haven't said it. It's the state of boxing, though, to have a celebrity match instead of real boxers, which is a shame to the sport, but, I mean...
Gets eyeballs on it. It is what it is. It's more of a spectacle than a sport, like we've been saying, especially if Jake Paul's involved. Although this is kind of the first fight he's had against a legit boxer, correct?
Yeah, so, yeah. Tommy Fury is a British professional boxer.
He's like the half-brother of Tyson Fury, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah, yeah. So I know they're related somehow. I don't know if it's half-brothers.
I thought that's what I read.
Yeah, half-brother. To Tyson Fury. I can confirm that. Yeah, he's 22. It looks like he has seven wins and four by knockout, zero losses. So, yeah, he's an up-and-comer too, just like Paul. Paul had a tough fight the last time around, but, I mean, he ended up winning, but that was against a guy who did UFC. This is an actual pound-for-pound boxer. So I'm excited to see how it goes.
Now, do you know if there's any truth to the thing I saw leaked out that like Jake Paul had in the contract that he wasn't allowed to be knocked out?
Oh, I didn't hear about any of that.
Okay, well, that might just be speculation or whatever. That the one MMA fighter, Dylan Donis or something like that, was saying something, but he just runs his mouth about everything, so I don't know that there's any factual information with that.
Yeah, it's one thing when like Floyd Mayweather says, "Don't knock me out" in exhibition against Logan Paul. I mean, the guy's already established. Yeah. Jake Paul, who's up and coming, and like people still don't even take him seriously necessarily. If you're already like pulling that card, it's like just get out of the sport. If you're a boxer who's afraid to fight another boxer, then don't be a boxer.
I also think that if that's going to be part of the fight, you need to make that public.
Yeah, yeah, I agree 100%. People need to be aware of this situation because people do gamble on that. What if you take Fury to knock out Paul, then like.
Right.
You know,
oh, yeah, absolutely. Or, like, in the last one, like, when Woodley had him on the ropes, like...
Yeah, yeah.
That, they were saying that that could have been, you know, the end there had it not been for the contract or whatever. Now, like I said, it's speculation, and I didn't do too much research, and so it's only worth that. So, we'll check into that, check back. Didn't Tommy Fury fight on the undercard for the last Paul fight?
I'm not sure about that, actually.
I thought he did.
May have. I mean, Frank Gore and Darren Williams. The thing that's interesting to me is, I mean, Williams is 6'3" and Gore's 5'9".
I was going to say there has to be at least a 6-inch difference. But I bet they probably weigh about the same.
Yeah, Gore has the weight. He's about 212, and Williams goes for about a 200 flat.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, obviously Williams has the reach, but Frank Gore is like a bowling ball, man. He just doesn't age. He was in the NFL forever. I wouldn't want to fight him. He seems like he has one of those Tyson. I mean, I'm not comparing him to Tyson, but just that quick, compact punch.
He has, like, even just as a running back, he always, like, reminded me of a guy who I wouldn't want to mess with. Like, other than, like, Marshawn Lynch, like, guys, I feel like there's, like, you know, Royal Rumble style. Like, Gore would always be one that I wouldn't have messed with from that era. I think Beast Mode, you know, from that decade would probably be number one, but I think Gore would be up there too.
Yeah, for sure.
They both actually have a little, some like fighting experience. Gore actually has been practicing boxing for a few years, but he never agreed to an actual fight, though he's been offered.
Yeah.
Now, I've heard. And Williams is a longtime combat sports enthusiast and actually has trained in mixed martial arts. So it's not necessarily
which fight would you rather see? Something like Darren Williams versus Frank Gore. Now, keep in mind, Frank Gore was in the NFL, what, a year ago?
Yeah, he was. Like,
they're still prime athletes. Or would you rather watch that Tyson Holyfield or whatever the hell it was? Or not Holyfield. Who did he just fight? Roy Jones or whatever?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Roy Jones and Mike Tyson.
Yeah. Would you rather see that of them at 60 years old? Would you rather see two?
That one was also an exhibition. Yeah. I think if it counted, I might still take the boxers. But then again, it's Tyson. Tyson is Tyson. If it was Holyfield versus, like, Roy Jones, let's say.
Yeah.
They don't have that Tyson name value. Right. I would maybe consider watching, you know, two other athletes.
Right. I mean, yeah, it's not going to be the purest boxing stuff, but I think I'd rather see two guys who are still kind of peak athleticism or slightly past their peak versus two guys who are, like, slightly towards a retirement home.
Right, and I'm not, like, I don't really know too much about Darren, like, Williams, but if it was two athletes, like, you hear, like, Frank Gore is fighting Marshawn Lynch or something, I'd be like, yeah, I definitely want to watch that.
Yeah. Plus, it's strange seeing that. I wish they did football player versus football player, because then we could do kind of one-on-one, or basketball player and basketball player. It's strange when you see that, although I guess there's, you know, some interest in that as well. But that's, I believe, in December.
Yeah, there was actually rumors, too, saying that Jake Paul wanted to fight Juju, like, a month ago.
Yeah.
A month or two ago, which would have been funny. And then it was, like, the same day I heard, like, Machine Gun Kelly and Conor McGregor were, like, pretending to fight. And I was like, neither one of those fights would ever happen, but I would 100% watch.
Well, yeah, when you see certain people, you're like, oh, Juju, well, that has to just be for eyeballs.
Yeah, and then watching him, Jake Paul would kill him, and then Conor would kill MGK much quicker, too.
Oh, my God. I would beat him.
Yeah, and especially if that's in an octagon, too. I don't know. It's never going to happen. I mean, but, I mean, like, MGK, like, Eminem's already ended his rap career. Corey Taylor's about to end his rock career, and, I mean, his fighting career is going to end. So, I mean, let's not even, like, pretend like it's going to happen.
Let's end on that gold. Absolutely. The sports guy, JP. I think I was going to ask you something else, but I can't remember what it was, so we won't get into it anyway. But thank you very much for the time. Everybody, please listen to Regular Poor Man's Podcast. Subscribe. Click through to the new website. Check out the behind the scenes. There's videos on there. You can listen to all the podcasts, all the shows. Like I said, definitely check the pictures and stuff. There's guests. There's behind the scenes stuff. So it's very cool. Plus, I spent a week doing it. So don't make my efforts be in vain. But Sports Guy JP, thank you.
Yeah, anytime.
All right. For Sports Guy JP, I'm Chris.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. We hope you had a good time. If you did, be sure to subscribe to the show to catch the latest episodes and share with your friends. We can't promise not to embarrass you. And if you just can't get enough, follow us on Instagram at Poor Man's Podcast 412, Twitter at Poor Man's Pod 412, and Facebook. This is Pittsburgh's own Poor Man's Podcast signing off. See you next week.